going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices and give you a 5-year price guarantee on talk, text, and data. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
This season, let your shoes do the talking. Designer Shoe Warehouse is packed with fresh styles that speak to your whole vibe, without saying a word. From cool sneakers that look good with everything, to easy sandals you'll want to wear on repeat, ESW has you covered. Find a shoe for every you, from the brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, New Balance, and more. Head to your DSW store or visit DSW.com today.
It's time to wake on up. Wake up. With a nice cup of Joe.
What's up, Joe, bro?
Featuring Joe Spadoni.
He's an Italian.
And Joe, the Butcher Boy Shasky.
I am slippery.
Oh! The best part of waking up. It's morning roast in your cup.
It is the morning roast, man, on 95.7 The Game.
What's up, Bay Area? Big Giants win last night. I'm looking at Carter right now. We're having a lot of fun here. Big Giants win last night. Warriors, obviously, they got a couple of day break between now and the Houston game. It's going to be tomorrow night. You can catch it here on 95.7 The Game. We were talking some Warriors and some Dunleavy, and we're going to get into that in a little bit. We've got our guy, Anthony Slater, going to join us at 8:30. But, you know, Spadoni brought up the 49ers in the draft, and George Kittle, and who's holding out, and who's not going to be reporting today. And it kind of it got me thinking, and I love the draft more than most. It just got me thinking about just where the Niners are at right now. And, like, they're expensive. They're thin. They've said goodbye to a lot of players, most of whom we're not going to miss. But there are some that we are going to miss. And, you know, Joe was just kind of presenting the, would you trade George Kittle?
I certainly was. And thank you, Joe. That was my first time being late for the 8 o'clock hour. I pulled a Bonte there. So, you know what? I'm here. Good morning to you, Shasky, Carter, Lubman. I'm here. A lot of breaks. And good morning to all the people just getting off work and ready for work and ready for school. It is beautiful out there in the Bay Area, whether in San Francisco, Oakland, South Bay, wherever. We appreciate you chiming in. And you can watch us on Twitch, Twitter, and YouTube, brought to you by First NorCal Credit Union. For a low rate auto loan, apply online or just ask for First NorCal financing at the dealer. But we were talking some Niners. Quite frankly, it was refreshing. And don't worry, we haven't forgot about the Warriors. They're taking on the Rockets. Game 2 tomorrow. That's where we got Anthony Slater coming up at 8:30. But there's a lot happening today right now. And why are we talking about the 49ers, as Joe alluded to? Well, I woke up to this. Mike Silver, The Athletic, talking to Diana Russini. Obviously, Mike very tapped in to the 49ers, covered them for the San Francisco Chronicle, now with The Athletic. But here he is talking about OTAs, which start today for the 49ers, on who will and will not report for the 49ers.
Who's going to report on Tuesday? So you've got Brock Purdy, George Kittle, and Fred Warner, cornerstone veterans. Fred Warner, they're kind of waiting their turn behind Purdy and Kittle. Not a lot going on talk-wise, but Fred Warner has always come into OTAs in the past. I expect him to show up. George Kittle, there have been some back and forth, not really anywhere close to alignment there. I think it's very likely that George Kittle will not show up. And then we have Brock Purdy. They all agree they want to keep him, they want to make him their guy, and they want to pay him what they believe is market value. How close are they in Purdy's view, and what is the point where he shows up? If Brock Purdy does show up Tuesday, I believe that means he thinks we are really, really close, so I'm just going to come in, and we'll get this done pretty soon, in my mind.
and that sound courtesy of The Athletic. So if Brock Purdy shows up today, probably a good indicator that a contract will be getting hammered out here soon. George Kittle, though, sounds like they're very far apart. I would be surprised if he does show up today. And is that concerning for you, 49ers fans? 888-957-9570. We talked about drama-free off seasons. Well, kind of feels like some drama right there starting, Joe. And that's not what I want right now heading into the draft. I don't want any drama. All right? The only drama I want is on TNT tomorrow. Is that what they're playing? I don't know if it's ESPN. But TNT, they know drama, and I'll watch that there. But not here with the Niners. I don't want that.
Well, like, so just asking in a vacuum, like George Kittle, do you want him or you not? Like, of course I want him. The Niners have a zillion needs. So trading away George Kittle right now for some financial flexibility creates another need. There are not enough picks for them to hit all of their needs this one draft. It just doesn't. What's the greatest draft if you were to just poll older Niner fans? What's the greatest draft in 49er history? In terms of what helped their championship winning.
Well, God, you got to go back to what?
1986.
I was going to say, I wasn't alive. Seven years before I was born.
They got Charles Haley and Raffin and a lot of great key contributors. They didn't win the Super Bowl until 2 years later, 1988. All right? They had a lot of the infrastructure in place. It took 2 years for those guys to be ready. Now, 81 was a great draft as well, where you had three different guys in the secondary, and you ended up winning it all. And that felt more like an outlier than a template, right? But there is that's what it looks like. It looks like it takes a couple of years for you to actually hit on these guys.
Maybe, but we did see the Eagles hit immediately last year with their two studs into the secondary.
They have drafted infinitely better than the Niners.
Okay, but
multiple years in a row leading, preceding them.
Hear me out. You were in a Super Bowl a year ago. I know the team's different now than they were then. You draft your own Cooper DeJean, right? And who was it? Quinyon Mitchell? Yeah. You're back in business.
Yeah, but they had... Okay. They had Montez Sweat.
They had big Jalen
Carter. They had Jordan Davis. They had the infrastructure in place, right? And then they got an opportunity to sign Saquon Barkley.
Well, that leads me to this next conversation. Per Adam Schefter and Peter Schrager, and they actually have the sound. I'm just going to let him talk about it. Peter Schrager, formerly of NFL Network, now with ESPN, one of their lead NFL insiders, talking about the latest in the draft and that the Browns and Giants... maybe open for business at number 2 and 3.
There have been phone calls made to both the Browns at 2 and the Giants at 3 with the intention to move up from several different sources telling me there are teams who are looking to get up in this draft to either the 2 or the 3 spot. The assumption being to move up to the 2 or the 3 spot, it would be for Abdul Carter, Travis Hunter, or the running back, Ashton Jeanty, who everyone expects to go somewhere in that 5 to 7 to 8 range. There have been teams making calls, and those teams are not immediately slamming down the phone. The Browns at 2, the Giants at 3. Everyone assumes it's going to be chalk, that this is going to go Cam Ward, it's going to go Travis Hunter, it's going to go Abdul Carter. Not so fast. I think the 2 spot gets very interesting if the Browns are listening to a godfather deal for them to trade back and someone to trade up into the top 3.
So that's Peter Schrager this morning. Browns and Giants open for business. I already know what you're going to say because you just said the 49ers need a lot. They have a lot of holes that they need to fill, and one player is not going to do that. I'll kind of take the other side on this, though. If I have the opportunity to trade up, I don't know what the package is going to be, but let's just say I get to number 3 and I can get Abdul Carter. Yeah, I think heavily about that because for the longest time, what has been the complaint for you on the defensive line, Joe? Or in the defense in general? Is there a partner for Nick Bosa out
there?
No. But Leonard Floyd was not that guy. We thought maybe he could be, but he's not. You try to draft Drake Jackson. I'm sorry, Miss Jackson, who? Yeah, he's not that guy. So I need someone there. D Ford was that guy for a second. Like that's the high watermark for the Nick Bosa tandem there. No, he needs that stud. And we all think that Abdul Carter might be the best player overall in this draft. I know Cam Ward's probably going to go number 1 overall. He's the quarterback. That's what happens. Just with the price point with that position. But then Travis Hunter and Abdul Carter, those guys are 1A, 1B best player overall in this draft. I would think about it. I would think long and hard about that because I would be having nightmares if I was opposing quarterbacks thinking and dreaming of Abdul Carter and Nick Bosa together. That'd be awesome.
I would love to have him. I think he is a special, special player. I like Jalen Walker as well. But the question isn't about like just getting that one player to get them over the top. Like that's kind of the mode they've been in terms of being aggressive, whether it's in the draft or in free agency or via trades. the last 3 or 4 years. That's been the setting. That's why they made a move for CMC. That's why they made, you know, the trade up to go get Trey Lance. They thought they were one player away. That's why they've been as aggressive as they were to go get themselves Trent Williams, right? This team currently has Bosa and Warner. That is it in your front seven. You literally don't have another starter in your front seven.
Yetur Gross-Matos?
You need a linebacker. You need a D-tackle. You need a D-tackle. You need a D-end. That doesn't include backups. You need backup D-ends and a backup D-tackle. You need probably another cornerback. Probably another free safety. All right? That's the need on defense alone.
I know.
And that we didn't even get into you need to protect your quarterback, who you want to pay $50 million a year to.
We don't know if they're going to do $50 million a year. We don't know that. We shall see.
So then as I do this exercise, I ask myself, what does trading George Kittle accomplish? Does it get you a draft spot to fill one of these needs? Not necessarily. It gives me a token at the party, but it doesn't give me a good chance of drafting someone great. I could draft Dominic Pooney. I could also draft Trace Jackson Davis, or not Trace, what's it? Davis Price, yes. The running back, right? I could draft Davis someone Price. Who doesn't help me at all, right? Like the next CJ Beathard, for example. I could draft Dante Pettis in the second round. Like, I could. They need linebacker. This is starters. Linebacker, D-tackle, D-tackle, D-end. So is it a start to get an Abdul Carter? That's a nice start. But I also need to have other picks and other things available to draft guard and center, probably a tackle, another wide receiver, another safety. They have too many needs. So as much as I really want...
God bless you.
...to move up, understand that moving back might actually be the better move.
We are coming live to you, by the way, from Laughing Monk Studios. Laughing Monk, righteously brewed in San Francisco, 888-957-9570. It's the same number to call or text the Boxer and Gerson Work Injury Attorneys text line. Would you consider trading up to the number 2 or 3 overall pick in this upcoming draft on Thursday, Niners fans? You currently have the number 11th overall pick. And just secondarily, would you consider fielding calls on one George Kittle? If they are that far off on contract talks and you don't want any drama this offseason, not to say that there wouldn't be drama if you did trade him, because obviously I think that would be a big blow to the fan base and their psyche. It's one of the fan favorites. I get that, but scared money don't make money. Hard truths cut both ways. Shout out Stannis of the House Baratheon. That's what happens. Tyler Warren could be there at number 11 overall. Penn State, a highly touted tight end, one of the best that's been highly touted since, last year, Brock Bowers. But he's right up there, people are saying, with him. And he blocks. So when Kyle Shanahan locked in the tight end, you got to block, you got to catch, you got to do both. He would be the future piece, and it's big shoes to fill. I'm not saying you can't, but maybe you get a second round. Hold on. Maybe you get a high second round pick for George Kittle. You're not going to get a first. Sorry, you're not.
I don't even think you're getting a second. But I'll go along with you, but I don't think you're getting a second.
High second round pick. Okay. You package that. You like a player that falls in the first round. You get two. There you go.
So now I'm moving more picks.
No, you're combining two picks to go back into the first, and then you get another pick, and then you don't pick again until the third, maybe.
But Joe, on a team that has...
I'm just telling you, you get two starters immediately.
In this draft, you're going to need 4 D linemen. You need at least 2 O linemen.
It's a deep D lineman draft. I can get one in the third.
Okay. You have to have picks. You might need a running back. We don't know where McCaffrey's at.
You lost the fifth. I'll get an unrestricted free agent. Right. Because I can, because I'm Kyle Shanahan.
You lost Jordan Mason.
So we got CMC coming back. I got faith in the medical. He'll be fine.
Are you good on wide receiver? You might need one of those later in the draft.
You might.
Okay.
Grab one.
What about safety? You don't have a free safety. Who's your starting free safety?
Right now, Jair Brown.
Yeah,
the stock was high heading into
last year. Trading George Kittle to take a guy at 11 to replace him. We did that with DeForest Buckner and Javon Kinlaw, and it created more holes than it helped. And so to me, like you're creating a new hole at tight end when this team needs 3 to 4 defensive linemen in this draft, 2 offensive linemen, and you can make the argument for running back, wide receiver, safety. And that's without even mentioning who's replacing Dre Greenlaw. I get where people are like, trade George Kittle. It sounds great. But like, put pen to paper. Start going through the list of this. You trade George Kittle, you're instantly telling me you are creating another hole and you have no shot at being a competitive team for this upcoming season. I'm sorry.
Let's go to the calls. We got some people.
Sorry,
that are
I'm out on
this.
It. I'm so out
That's
on
fine.
It.
I consider it. Chasky's out on it. I would consider trading him.
You don't need to move a tight end to create a new hole.
I also don't want to be paying a tight end that much money when he's going to be 32 years old and he's the wear and tear is already visible when it comes to that
guy. It's not. No. I think that's a misnomer. Let me read you off George Kittle's the last four seasons. 14 games, 15 games, 16 games, 15 games. Pro Bowl every single season. Let me read you off how many catches this guy. 71, 60, 65, 78. He's literally very productive. Unbelievably productive. That's a misnomer that he's hurt. That is a misnomer.
It's not a misnomer that he's hurt. I'm saying that position on the 49ers, the wear and tear is a lot different than what it is for a guy like Travis Kelce, who's not asked to block every single time. George Kittle is going to get battered, bruised, and beaten because of this offense, and he's not going to age as gracefully as some of those other guys. Not saying he isn't a Hall of Famer. He is. Right now, if his career ended, he's probably going to the Hall of Fame.
Yeah.
He is. But that's what I'm looking at here, the future. And if you're saying this upcoming year is going to be a lost year for the 49ers potentially, then, yeah, I'd rather have this be a lost year and have a Tyler Warren than a lost year in the prime of George Kittle, who's only going to be getting older and his game's going to be steadily declining. Let's go to Dave in Fresno, who wants to join the conversation. Dave, good morning.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to Shopify.com/Odyssey Podcast to upgrade your selling today. Shopify.com/Odyssey Podcast.
If you're a parent or share a fridge with someone, Instacart is about to make grocery shopping so much easier. Because with family carts, you can share a cart with your partner and each add the items you want. Since between the two of you, odds are you'll both remember everything you need. And this way, you'll never have to eat milkless cereal again. So minimize the stress of the weekly shop with family carts. Download the Instacart app and get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes. Plus, enjoy $0 delivery fees on your first three orders. Service fees apply for three orders in 14 days. Excludes restaurants.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Can't get enough baseball? Start streaming MLB Network today. Get up to 15 out-of-market games a week live on any device, plus 24/7 access to MLB Network's award-winning shows, including live game look-ins and exclusive player interviews. And hear live radio play-by-play from all 30 clubs with MLB at Bat. Enjoy the home of baseball from virtually anywhere. Plans start as low as $5.99 per month. Sign up now at MLBNetwork.com/stream.
Available in the U.S. only. Blackout restriction applies. Visit MLB.com/subscribe for full terms and conditions.
Every morning brings a fresh new energy. And no matter what the day holds, we come to the Today Show for all of it.
We get the best start to the day because we start it together.
Watch the Today Show weekdays at 7 a.m. on NBC.
Morning. How we feel about all this? The draft, the Niners, George Kittle. There's a lot going on right now.
Oh, Spadoni, my guy. I listen to you guys every morning. And you are right 9 out of 10 times. Today is one of those times you're not right, bro.
I'm shocked. Hey, Dave, I'm shocked it's that many. Damn.
Hey, now I love listening to you guys. On George Kittle, though, real quick, it'd be crazy to move off George Kittle before they move off Trent Williams, who's about to be 38.
That's what I'm saying.
Like, so,
you know, Jasky's saying, yeah, bro, like, he's spitting fast. You got to listen. Like, George Kittle's been the one constant player these last 4 years, even in the bad years. You know, he's a leader. And like Jasky said, you got too many holes to say, oh, let's get a tight end at 11. You know, that's just not smart. You know, and Kittle, look at Kelsey. How old are you, 34, 35? He's still playing. He's still effective. And to say, oh, this tight end position gets battered and bruised, you want to spend your 11th pick on the position that you said this team just beats up and crafts out? Like, no, that ain't smart either, bro. So, like Shaq, you said, there's too many holes to just say, oh, let's trade George Kittle and, you know, get another tight end. Like, we got to get edge. We got to get defense. We got to bring some juice back to this defense, man. And that's where I think they need to focus in the first and second round. And then they need to start spending some picks on the offensive line before they even think about going to tight end. So, you know, Kittle is the last person I want off this team.
Can I ask you a question, can I ask you a question? You brought up Trent Williams, and I'm glad you did. How many years? They've played 5 years together. Let's take away the first year, 2020, because that was like a, you know, obviously a COVID year. How many years of those has Trent Williams had more snaps in a season than George Kittle, the last 4 years?
Oh, yeah. Kittle's been there more reliable than Trent.
Literally, think, you know, literally only the very first season, Dave. 2021, has Trent Williams, who is in every formation because the left tackle's in everywhere, had more snaps than George Kittle. He is older. He's more injury prone. And I don't think that the consumer relates to him. Like, there's also the consumer aspect.
What's harder to find, a left tackle or a tight end? I'm just asking you straight up.
I would say
the answer is a left tackle. It's much more difficult to find a left tackle.
Who was the left tackle for I'm asking out loud. Who was the left tackle for the Eagles?
Right tackle is Lane Johnson. Left tackle, not Jordan Mailata. It's someone that's really good though. Get it for me, Carter. Again,
who's the left tackle for the Chiefs?
The Chiefs, well, whoever it was got on his turnstile.
They just signed
awful.
Jalen Moore.
Yeah, well, they just, yeah.
But he's, you know, I mean, like, so I hear you. Everyone says left tackle, left tackle. And, like, I'm not saying that Trent's not important.
He was the guard. Okay.
I'm not saying that Trent's not important. I'm saying that, like, for this team and the way they want to play football, and if we're banking on who's going to be healthier and what's better bang for your buck moving forward, it's clearly George Kittle over Trent Williams if you're comparing those two.
Okay. I hear you on that. Again, 888-957-9570. We're having the conversation. George Kittle, not going to be showing up. According to reports, probably not showing up to OTAs today. Him and the Niners are very far apart when it comes to their contract talks, on top of Brock Purdy's contract talks. And oh, by the way, Fred Warner wants to have contract talks or is having contract talks. They all want to get paid, and they're all very important. And Shasky is putting his hand on his face because, again, all we talked about was we don't want any drama at the 49ers offseason. We're starting it now, and it's the week of the NFL draft.
If it was week one and you flipped on the Niners, you didn't watch any preseason and you just didn't pay attention to the offseason and you saw that there was no Kittle, no Debo on offense, no clue on CMC, no clue on Ayuk. All right. Now just think about the team that I'm talking about. Okay. Yeah. You're smiling. Now on defense, it's Bosa and Warner and you don't know any of the other players outside of D'Amino Lenoir.
Abdul Carter, baby.
Well, just. You tell me if that team is a good team or not on paper or to the eyeballs.
I got
to
see it. I don't know. We'll see. I have faith in Kyle Shanahan. Why are you looking at me like that?
I think we're talking ourselves into something that is clearly obvious. Like that right now, they are in a rebuild situation. There's not a question in my mind. What I'm saying
to you is, I think they're in a retool. I don't know if it's a quiet rebuild. You can't rebuild when you have this many studs on your team still. I can't call you a rebuild. A team that's rebuilding is the Tennessee Titans.
Who's a stud?
Who's a stud on this team?
I'm asking. Yeah.
Fred Warner is a stud.
Okay, that's one.
All pro.
Okay.
I think Nick Bosa is a stud on this team.
No, keep going.
Okay. I think, again, George Kittle
okay.
is a stud.
So you're going to get rid of one of
no.
your studs?
Well, I'm drafting another stud in my guy Tyler Warner.
Potentially,
or down later in the draft, a Loveland from Michigan.
We thought Solomon Thomas might be a stud. We thought Mike McGlinchey might be a stud. We thought Trey Lance might be a stud.
And I think Brock Purdy's a stud.
Javon Kinlaw might be a stud.
I think Christian McCaffrey's a stud. I think D'Amino
Lenoir
is a stud.
Kittle's a stud.
Okay.
I know he is.
Fine. I just gave you five or six of them right there, too. of studs on this team. You can't have that many studs and be a rebuilding team. You just can't.
Right now, they need 3 to 4 defensive linemen just to start the game. They need at least a linebacker. They need
the deep
at
lineman.
Least one offensive
deep
lineman.
Deep defensive lineman draft upcoming. That's what they're telling me.
They need a free safety. Like, again, just go through this team that there's 22 starting spots.
I think Jair Brown can have a bounce back. I thought he showed some flashes the year prior.
4, 5, 6, 7. You're looking at half the starters need to be found in just one draft. Yeah, you're not doing that. And if you trade away tight end, now I've created another hole.
Ron and Hayward, let's join the conversation.
I don't think it makes sense.
We'll clean this up. We're going to get to Anthony Slater in a couple minutes. We'll talk some Warriors. We'll talk some Rockets. And then we'll pick this back up on the other side. Ron Hayward, good morning. Are you still driving that truck? How are we feeling about the Rams right now, Ron? I know the Lakers are down bad. They're probably, if they lose tonight, they're done. Ron, good morning.
No. Listen to me. This is J-Ron. This is Jay Rob, the world champion Dodger fan, but I'm not calling in to talk about the world champion Dodgers right now. I just want to ask you, Wild fans, one question. You guys know everything about your team. I want you or Shasky to answer my question. I've been thinking about this for a long time. Now, Jimmy G took you to a Super Bowl and lost. Purdy took you to a Super Bowl and lost. Purdy is not worth no $60 million.
I agree.
So what's the difference?
Well, who's paying you $60 million? Ron, who's paying him $60 million?
Well, that's what y'all been saying all half the year. He's going to pay $60 million. He's going to break the bank. So why don't y'all answer the question? He doesn't want to Jimmy G. So what the heck, y'all couldn't shoot Jimmy G? You're going to pay him that kind
Jimmy
of money.
Jimmy G stinks. There you go. Jimmy G's not good. He's a backup for your team.
I will agree with him. I have a number. I'm telling you, anything over $45 million guaranteed over more than 2 years, anything over $45 million guaranteed per year over 2 years, to me, is franchise suicide with Brock Purdy. It just is.
According to reports, Brock Purdy arriving to OTAs today, so that would hopefully be a sign that the contract
per Rapoport and Pelissero.
Good. There you go.
That makes me feel really good.
Good. So there you go. You know what else is going to make you feel really good? Talking to Anthony Slater, because the vibes are always there with our guy Slates. He's coming up next, 888-957-9570, Warriors-Rockets. If you want to talk some more Niners, we can do that after Slates. You know the number, so we're going to take a pause here, get back into the most important story in the Bay Area. It's not George Kittle. It's Jimmy Butler, and it's Stephen Curry trying to go up 2-0 in H-Town to come back home Saturday at Chase Center, put a stranglehold on that series. Would be lovely. And that's what's coming up on the game, brought to you by the San Francisco International Airport. We got our Warriors postseason coverage brought to you by the Agape Golf Tournament. Agape, I should say. It's going to be on Monday, April 28th at Stone Tree Golf Club, presented by Atco Pest Control. Steiny and Guru going to be broadcasting live from 10 to 2. And if you want to play, go to 957thegame.com and click on the click on the events tab to sign up. All proceeds will benefit the North Bay and Golden Gate Regional Centers, as well as the San Francisco Autism Society of the Bay Area. We're going to be playing there. I think Will and Dibs are going to be playing. Cannot wait for that. So again, it's going to be on Monday. Go to 957thegame.com, click on the events tab to sign up. That brings us to Anthony Slater, who joins us courtesy of the River Islands guest line. As all guests on 95.7 The Game appear on the River Islands guest line, isn't it time for you to discover the islands, River Islands in Lathrop? Anthony, good morning. I don't know if you listen to any sports talk or read any of the fan vitriol or anything. Vitriol's not the right word. That's a little strong, but the fanfare. A lot of arrogance yesterday from the hosts, from the fans, everything. Because of that win and how the Warriors won in Game 1, 95-85, they got dominated on the offensive glass 22-6, and it really felt like it didn't matter all that much. Now, that's because Jalen Green went 3-for-15, Fred VanVleet went 4-of-19, and I say all that to say, did we overestimate the Rockets heading into this series, or are we now underestimating them after one game? Good morning.
Both?
Probably. Okay, both.
Yeah. That's how sports works, right? But, yeah, I mean, look, their problem was their half-court offense, 21st ranked in the league this year. They're a terror in transition. They do, 22 offensive rebounds is a lot, but that's not outrageous for the Rockets. You know, they were easily the top offensive rebounding team in the league this year. So they're going to keep doing that. They didn't turn the Warriors over enough, at least live ball wise, right? A lot of the Warriors turnovers, like pass out of bounds or some stuff like that. And even when they did turn them over, their lack of offense didn't allow them to take advantage of it. But, you know, like the Warriors still are struggling to score against the Rockets. That's two straight games they haven't got to 100 points themselves. So depends on, I mean, I guess the whole, are people now underestimating them? I mean, if you just think it's going to be an easy sweep and game two is going to be just like game one, yes, you probably are underestimating them. But I think what you should have been concerned about on the Houston side entering the series and what, honestly, talking to Warriors people made them confident was confirmed in game one. Half-court offense is a problem. No star scorers on the perimeter. Jalen Green, Fred VanVleet, inefficient. And they win 95-85.
Yeah, Houston had a 65 rating in the half court offensively. It was bad. What are the adjustments? I mean, we know hitting shots with Fred VanVleet and maybe getting Jalen Green rolling, but is it a Tari Eason substitution of some sort? Jabari Smith usage going up? Şengün, what is their offensive counter, I guess, is the question.
Pray.
Yeah, I mean, like what Jabari Smith went 3-3. He did look a little smooth in, you know, brief moments, but it's probably it counters to who they've been all year for suddenly Ime Udoka to want to up his usage. You know, like I think if they're more desperate point of the series and the offense is such a problem, like Reed Shepard sitting over there on the bench, I actually kind of like him long term as an offensive scorer. Cam Whitmore's over there, but you know I don't think Ime's going to go to them. I just think part of the adjustment is sitting Jalen Green down in the film room, being like, stop taking these type of shots. Right, there were some wild ones he was taking, attacking into traffic, flailing towards the baseline, throwing up like you know basically these falling layups. I'd probably be more direct with my Şengün usage and probably run the offense like even more through him. I know he had a lot of, you know, what did he make? 11 shots. But it just, at key moments of time, it felt like too much Fred VanVleet and too much Jalen Green. So, you know, maybe there are ways to, you know, I guess rearrange that. But at the other point, like, there's also a lot of open missed shots, right? Like, yeah, they're not going to win if Fred VanVleet just came and hit an open three. So they've got to turn that on a little bit.
What did you make of the defense employed by the Warriors? Obviously, for long stretches, you saw some variation of a zone, whether it was a 2-3, a 3-2. I thought I saw a 1-3-1 at times. Certain matchup zones. You know, that was a big wrinkle. Are they going to continue to do that?
Yes, and that's what that was the benefit of the prep time, right? That Memphis did not get entering Oklahoma City. They got like 36 hours, and the Warriors did get with 4 days prior to Houston. It was why that one of the reasons why that Tuesday night play-in win was so important for them. This is who the Warriors have been. If you go back to 22, I can remember when Mike Brown was their defensive coordinator. Remember how often he would, you know, middle of possessions, just get up and start doing like box and one signals to Draymond Green, and then they would go zone. It's like this is who the Warriors coaching staff always wants to be defensively, and this is the benefit of having, you know, Ray Lewis as your defensive guy on the floor, right? That's Draymond Green. He's a middle linebacker. He can call out signals. He can kind of change on the fly how he's feeling too, right? He's so smart out there. He gets a sense of what type of defense will work. And honestly, the Rockets' limitations allow you to try so many different things. Their lack of shooting and scoring punch, and there's not a star scorer on the perimeter that you need to, you know, completely shade your help towards. I mean, the fact that they can leave Steph on an island if he gets switched on to Jalen Green and be like, you know, Jalen Green might hit the shot, but that's not going to make them change their help or send an early double. Like, it allows you to do so many creative things.
Talking with Anthony Slater here on the Morning Roast, Spadoni and Shasky. Anthony Slater, obviously Warriors insider for The Athletic and right here on 95.7 The Game. What'd you make of Moody and Pods getting their first ever playoff starts and their performances in the win?
I thought Pajemski was good pretty much throughout. You know, I mean, he had his moments, but, you know, I think he kind of showed himself as their fourth starter, fourth closer. I thought Moody was shaky for a while, but obviously had two of the biggest shots of the game and closed. And I think part of the reason he closed is I didn't think the bench was that good, right? Gary Payton, I think, was like a minus 10 in 15 minutes. Post looked a little bit overwhelmed by the moment in his first playoff game. We'll see if that continues. Obviously, he didn't go to Kuminga, so there wasn't really great closing options ahead of Moody. He did close. He kind of, that was his best stretch of the game, late in the fourth quarter. And the thing with Moody, we probably tend to forget because he's been out of the rotation so many times during the regular season. He's kind of, I don't want to say a playoff vet, but this is like his third playoff run where he's cracked into the rotation. Obviously, this is his most important one. He's starting, and at times he's closing. But that stage shouldn't be too bright for Moses Moody. He's been there. He was playing down the stretch of that Lakers series a couple years ago.
He was. I remember that was a tough assignment after Andrew Wiggins got hurt going up against LeBron in that Game 6. Anthony, you mentioned it, the Kuminga thing, right? And you made it known. I think you tweeted before Game 1, right? I'm paraphrasing here. But that you're like, yeah, he'd probably be like an in-series adjustment, maybe an in-game adjustment if they see something, but don't expect Jonathan Kuminga to be part of this early rotation off the bench here in Game 1. Were you surprised at all about the DMP when they were started to, that 23-point lead started dissipating for Golden State, and you saw the size and the youth and the athleticism of the Rockets kind of showing their teeth a little bit? Were you surprised at all that they didn't pivot to Kuminga? And I guess my main overarching question is, did something happen between Kerr and Kuminga at some point? Is there anything deeper than the surface of, hey, it's just a bad matchup and you got the short end of the stick like TJD? Or is there something potentially deeper there? And I don't mean to put you on the spot, and I know you have your sources that you can't give up, all that sort of stuff. But is there anything deeper between Kerr and Kuminga in that relationship at all?
I mean, no, nothing happened. Steve Kerr just doesn't think he should be in the current rotation. The numbers have told him, and Kerr wants to win this way with this lineup that turned their season around while Kuminga was hurt. And when Kuminga came back, he's mentioned it, the pairing with him and Jimmy Butler, the numbers haven't worked. And certainly the three-man pairing, if you add Draymond Green into it. Now Jimmy Butler's playing 42 minutes a night. So he just pivoted away from him in the rotation. There is not some, argument or any type of thing that has happened behind the scenes. It's just, as far as their relationship goes, it's 4 years of Jonathan Kuminga, kind of being yanked around, the rotation and playing time and all that. But that's a more, bigger picture thing than a momentary type thing. We'll see. He's still looms out there as the guy. If they're, if they lose in a way tonight, and he can be an adjustment heading towards Game 3. But to be honest, it feels to me like Gui Santos has turned into their in-game pivot point. What did he play, like 6 minutes? It just seems like if Steve Kerr's looking for some, an energy spark, he goes to him for 2 or 3 minutes. And so I would consider Kuminga, further than that down the pecking order right now. But we'll see if that changes. I do think, it's interesting, like Gary Payton gets it however many minutes he got, I think 15, it was a minus 10. To me, those could be the Kuminga minutes, partly because there is not a guy you have to throw Gary Payton on. This is like not necessarily a series where you're like, go slow this perimeter guy down. But Steve Kerr likes the way this rotation's playing, and they do keep winning, so it's hard to be overly critical.
There's no doubt. And, whether it's like TJD for a minute, I've hypothesized a lot of different things. The thing that kind of bugs me, I guess, is, JK and this guy, that doesn't work. Well, I can make a similar argument for the GP2 Buddy Hield Kevon Looney triad that's been out there for about a month, and it's been nothing. It's been a nothing burger. Looney has not looked good. It just period. And if he's not going to get rebounds, he's clearly not an offensive threat. Buddy has been searching for his shot for so long. Are those guys at risk? Because you referenced GP2. Are those guys at risk of having someone else, JK or another player, Gui Santos or TJD or someone else that I'm not bringing up? Are they having their minutes maybe restricted?
Yeah, I think in the playoffs, everything's on the table, but I think it becomes much more on the table when you're not succeeding. And I think, you guys remember Steve's press conference post-game in Portland, the second to last game of the regular season, where to me, that was him telling the world that Kuminga was about to be out of the rotation. He talked about, offensive flow and you know, and I think that is the choice he's made, even when he's putting guys like Buddy Hield, who might not be shooting well, or, you know, you mentioned some of the other rotation options that maybe aren't playing that well. To him, it seems to be more about just like how this 9-man, 10-man rotation is, you know, moving out on the court together, even if the threes aren't falling X or Y. I just think he's of the belief that throwing Kuminga in there is a wrench to the flow of this team. And he, you know, he's being relatively transparent about it.
Well, throw Kuminga to the side, because it's obviously a lightning rod. Like TJD and Looney, like, I don't know. I'm just, maybe I'm hyper-focused on Loon, but well, Loon ain't been great.
Yeah, the other thing, I think if we take two steps back and view this playoff run and who Steve Kerr is and who he trusts over the course of his career and who he's going to, like, ride to the finish line with, it's his veterans, right? I mean, this is all about trying to maximize and, you know, whatever, the meaningful basketball thing with Steph Curry and Draymond Green. I just think if you just tell him, you know, Trace Jackson Davis or Kevon Looney with in a big playoff game in Houston, like, we all kind of know what box he's going to check there, right? You know, he's going to think about what Kevon Looney did for him in the four previous playoff runs prior and stuff like that. So I just, like, he's a veteran type coach, Steve Kerr. Not that he won't play young guys. Clearly he's playing young guys right now, but it's just like, he's going to trust Kevon Looney in these type of scenarios.
No, I hear you. I think he's been getting outplayed, we love the guy, and I know he's useful, and he's going to have an opportunity down the stretch, but I do think when they go Steven Adams and they go with Şengün, trying something else, whether it is small ball 5 Gi or Trace Jackson Davis for a minute or Quentin Post for a little longer than you'd like, I think it would be worth exploring. Now, that being said, there was a couple moments in this game where it felt like Draymond Green was about to lose emotional control. And I give him and I give Steve and the staff credit. They kind of reeled him back in. Did anyone talk to either one of them about that? Because it sure felt like it was teetering on, something might happen here, something might happen here. And to Draymond's credit, he, like, bottled it up. And I thought he played great defense down the stretch. And I was worried he might catch, you know, a bogus flagrant or attack or something.
Yeah, I think it was like, that was the version you want, the version that straddled the right side of the fence. And also, I thought Steve Kerr took a good time out. There was a moment that was right when him and Şengün and the referees were kind of getting in the mix, and it seemed like some fireworks were potentially going to happen. And Steve went, you know, quick time out to cool everything off. And I think Steve's been better about that ever since that Orlando game where remember when he got ejected? And I'm talking a couple seasons ago at this point. He got ejected in the first quarter. I remember Steve being kind of regretful that he didn't call the timeout after the first tech, right? Get him out of the game. I think after that situation, he has learned that sometimes one of the better usage of his timeouts is to cool a situation that Draymond's involved in. So I think you saw that. And then you guys probably saw the Jerry Stackhouse kind of talking to Draymond. That was on the broadcast, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, yeah. So that was, I mean, Jerry was just basically messaging him to, like, lock back. And Draymond sometimes gets overly upset about, like, a specific defensive mistake or a turnover. And, like, oftentimes, as you guys know, he's right about, you know, his teammate making this mistake, that referee making a call that was, like, the wrong call. And I think sometimes, and this is what Jerry did the other day, it's like, okay, that's fine. Accept the mistake by the referee or your teammate, and get, you know, let's start thinking bigger picture about winning the game again. So I think Jerry did a good job of that the other day.
Yeah, Paz needs to also get on that memo when he's trying to challenge plays that are going in his favor already, but he still finds the need to do the challenge thing. We're talking to Anthony Slater here.
Did you see him, by the way, yell down at Houston's bench to challenge his own charge?
Yeah, that's what I was just alluding to, yeah. Anthony, right there. I was like, what are you doing, dude?
How about when he did the gladiator? He did the gladiator after the tip, which ricocheted off the backboard right to Draymond. Late in the game. It was a great play. He did, like, the gladiator, are you not entertained, to the entire Houston crowd. He's a character.
I would love, yeah, that confidence. I think we should all strive to have that confidence, like a Brandon Pajemski talking to Anthony Slater, a Warriors insider for The Athletic. The guy we haven't even brought up today, the guy's the talk of the town, the talk of everything, it's Jimmy Butler, Anthony. I mean, this guy, playoff Jimmy, has officially arrived. Like, play-in Jimmy is a thing, obviously, boom, this Miami Heat days, but playoff Jimmy is here. You know, we were kind of talking yesterday after the show, just teammates for Stephen Curry. And obviously, you're probably going the best teammate he's ever had. It's probably like top, like top 10, top 15, like player of all time wise is Kevin Durant, right? I know Clay means a lot to him. Can we potentially, outside of Kevin Durant, like if they go on a deep run here, win the whole damn thing, like Jimmy Butler, man, where he ranks as far as Steph Curry teammates goes, like I'm starting to think he's rising up the rankings pretty damn fast if this thing continues. And I know it's early, but just what we're getting from him now, 10 and 19, 25 points, calming things down. I listened to the vets talking about his calming presence, and that's the difference from what Jimmy Butler brings to this team over the last few years. Just speak on Jimmy Butler and where he ranks with Stephen Curry teammates potentially.
Five steals, too. I would, like, you can't forget some of the Clay games.
Yeah, no, you know, no, like I know, I know, yeah.
Like, it's this dynasty run has lasted so long.
But doesn't it feel different, like, though, Anthony? With Jimmy's just such a, he's an alpha. Like, and I love Clay. He was never going to be a number one on a team right now. I'm not saying Jimmy is a true number one on this team, but he's a 1B.
But the style, I think the
style's so much different.
The style's different. Yeah. He's much more of a ball stopper, and yeah. I actually think it's a good thing for this team at times.
Yeah, no, I mean, he's the right guy at the right moment. We know that. And certainly, you know, considering what Clay, you know, with the injuries, what he is at this point of his career. But, you know, I was also in the Oklahoma City arena, and I've never seen a franchise so shell-shocked by a performance. Like, they're still scarred by when Clay Thompson walks in the building in Oklahoma City. And, so, you know, I think about the moment Clay tore his ACL, and he was the best player on the floor in a Toronto Finals Game 6. And, like, you know, again, Jimmy Butler is more of, like you said, more of like a kind of a 1A scorer, you know, like the imprints he puts on his game. Clay's so unique, but, you know, Clay at his peak, Draymond, you know, at his defensive peak, and then you mentioned KD, even Iguodala. I mean, think about the finals Iguodala had. It's so, like, we'll see what this Jimmy playoff run is. And clearly, like I said, like, right guy, right moment, he's exactly what this team needs. He's exactly what Steph needs, if you've seen that. And the, I mean, like, the scoring uptick has been impressive. The jumper now feels a lot more, you know, like, likely to go in when he rises up. And to me, that's a huge thing. That's always been kind of an undercurrent within his, you know, famous playoff runs, is suddenly he starts hitting threes and hitting mid-range jumpers at a greater degree, and it feels like that's what's happening.
I thought that Steve Kerr did a brilliant job going back to Moses Moody in this game, even though he wasn't playing great, hasn't shot well for multiple weeks, if not months, and he hit two big shots, the late shot clock, kind of midi, and then that corner three. I thought those were huge moments for him in what is hoping to be a long playoff run, and they're going to need him to shoot better. How important was that for him and for this team to get Moses Moody to be a viable option down the stretch?
Probably big. It's tough to know, you know, because he has been, like, kind of cold from three lately. But, you know, you got to think hitting maybe the biggest three of the game ups the confidence level heading into game two. They need it, as you said. Particularly, like, points seem like at such a premium in this series. So how about the, like, kind of fadeaway he had?
Nice.
I mean, you don't want that type of offense. That's more like late clock, panicky type. You know, you just got to get a shot up, but it looked pretty good. Yeah, I mean, his scoring, I would say, remember when he was at his, like right around the time Butler got here, he had a surge of X amount of straight games with, like, 15 or more points, stuff like that. Like, if they can get that version of him back, I do think that's one of those, like, quiet X factors that bumps the ceiling of this team, that makes them more of a threat, you know, even if it's in the next round against Minnesota or the Lakers or something like that. Like, they're going to need nights like that.
Completely agree.
Were you surprised at all? You just brought up that series. Were you surprised at all, Minnesota flexing game one on the Lakers like that? Obviously, we're looking ahead a little bit, too far ahead. You got to take care of business against the Rockets, but the Warriors would be playing one of those two teams.
I'm not ready to even consider that.
No, well, I'm asking Anthony. Like, maybe I'm recalibrating. It's like, oh, maybe I don't want to see the T-Wolves if I'm a Warriors fan, potentially. Is that too crazy?
I don't know. I mean, it's a good question. I think that series is fascinating, regardless of if the Warriors are coming out of the Houston series or not, just who's going to win it. I think LeBron is about to ratchet it up tonight. I think we're going to get a lot more answers about, like, you know, how physically overwhelming Minnesota is or isn't in this series, because I thought LeBron coasted the other night. Luka didn't look that good. You do concern yourself with the Lakers defensively, just giving up tons of wide open threes. They have no rim protection, especially when Jackson Hayes is out of the game. So And Minnesota, Anthony Edwards showed it during the playoff run last year. I mean, like, he's super dangerous on this type of stage, but the one thing you do wonder with them, they seem to kind of throttle on and sometimes kind of lose steam late in games, late in playoff series, late in playoff runs. I don't think you're just going to see that version of the Timberwolves all the time.
Hey, Anthony, good stuff. We really appreciate it, man. Good luck tomorrow covering the game. Should be an exciting one. Warriors go up 2-0 tomorrow. I am talking sweep. Anthony, next time we talk to you. Have a good one, man.
All right, fellas.
There we go.
See you, buddy.
Anthony Slater, Warriors insider for The Athletic, and right here on 95.7 The Game. You missed any of that interview, find it on the Odyssey app or on YouTube, where we are streaming all day long. Takeaways from Slates there, Joe?
Clearly, everyone's hung up on Kuminga, and I get why, you know.
I had to ask the question.
I don't think you're wrong. Yeah. I think a lot of people are thinking. I contemplated it, but I guess where I get a little frustrated, and it's not at Anthony. I think it's more of just in general, is that, and this is where the analytics and the game and the eyeballs, this is where there can be some confusion. When Gabe Kapler lost me, it was, I'm going to do everything by the data, but there's going to be a few things that I do by the eyeballs. And it's like, okay, all right, well, what is it? Which I don't care. If whatever it is for you, like, let me know what it is, and I'll buy in. And eventually, like, either you're good at it or you're not. Now, Steve Kerr has a track record that kind of speaks for itself. But it does feel like when it comes to the JK handling, he's going based off of the data. Because he said that. He's citing the data. I would say at times it's been clunky to the eyeballs. So the eyeball backs up some of the data stuff. What is the excuse on the Kevon Looney and GP2 and Buddy Hield combinations, which are clearly not working? Now, they're only on the court for a small period of time.
See, and then real quick, the whole data thing, and I get that Steve Kerr's using that, it's like 38 minutes where they've had the court together with that. It's such a tiny sample size.
I agree.
Randy and I were talking about it last Thursday. So, well, you bring up the like, they barely played together. I can't garner anything from that. But
it'd be like doing one show with someone and saying, oh, no, it'll never work.
Exactly. Like Randy and I doing it last week. It's like, well, that 4-hour show didn't rate the best. I was like, well, you didn't give me a chance.
Exactly.
So that's where I kind of scoff at that. But Steve Kerr clearly has seen enough of it where he's like, I'm not in a position right now. We're in the playoffs. We just can't. We just don't have the time.
And he's earned the benefit of the doubt. If anyone has, it's him, which I hear him. I'm just, and again, I'm nitpicking. I'm admitting it, all right? I'm nitpicking. This is a horrible matchup for Kevon Looney. No one is doubting that Kevon Looney hasn't been important to the Warriors. No one is doubting that at some point there'll be a better matchup and he'll be perfect for that matchup. I don't think this is the matchup for him. Mm. I also don't think this is the matchup for Draymond, but you're going to play Draymond. And so that kind of goes out the window. I would try TJD for a minute and just see what you got, you know? Buddy Hield, I would probably put him on a shorter stint. And if he's not hitting, like, he's got to come out, you know? GP2, I got to see a little something from him, you know, in this next one. If not, go to Moses Moody a little more. So, like, Moses is maybe playing 15 to 20 minutes. Mm. Well, if both Buddy and GP2 aren't bringing it, well, maybe I can up Moses Moody to 25 minutes. Maybe it's Gui Santos in a small ball five role. It doesn't have to be Kuminga. Like, I think when I reference Looney or some of these other guys, Kuminga, no. He sucks. Dude, like, throw Kuminga out the window. I'm suggesting other people.
Dave in Fremont wants to join in the conversation. He said, throw Kuminga out the window. I think that's a lot of Warriors fans feel that Steve Kerr did that to Jonathan Kuminga. And I think he's just waiting for his moment. Hey, there's going to be a moment here or two, maybe this series, maybe the next series if they advance. Kuminga will have a chance at some point. I am confident in that. Well, he will have an opportunity at some point.
I don't know. I do think
there's going to be a time and place where he plays in a game where they're either down or up, and it's not going to be it's not a blowout scenario. He will have an opportunity, and it's up to him to run with it at that point. But we'll see.
I personally think it might, the ship has sailed.
But we
can always rechart this course.
There you go.
But I would say this. I think right now I'm going with who's on the floor and who isn't on the floor. Now TJD hasn't played a lot, but I would try some other things. And by other things, I mean more Moses Moody, and I think just give a taste to TJD. See if it works. If it doesn't, okay, boom. Go right back to Looney. Nothing lost. Or go with Gui for a little longer. Because Gui can at least stretch you out in these small ball lineups and hit a three, get me a rebound. He's got some Draymond qualities where he can battle against some of the oversized guys. again, I'm just trying to tinker a little. I'm not here to like say that this guy can't help them. No, I'm just saying like I would try other things.
And also, I just want to reiterate, Steve Kerr in the Western Conference playoff series has only lost one time, and that was to the Lakers a couple years ago. Outside of that, never lost, undefeated. Shout out LeVar Ball. Dave Fremont, what you got, man?
Bingo.